Perfect. I'm starting. Perfect. I hope all is well with you. Last time we talked, it was 3rd of July. Next time we're going, and these are twice a month calls. We do them on the first and third Monday of each month. So I believe our next one is going to be the 7th of August. This call is on fears and how to deal with fears. And of course, our concentration is on real estate investing and real estate investors. If you have any specific questions about deals and how to structure things, this is not the call for it. You actually want to direct those calls to Larry's organization. I am a personal development expert. That's the expertise of my, well, that's the limit of my expertise. Although I do real estate investing from time to time, that is not the scope of this call. So let's start about talk about fears. So I would like you, and this sounds like a relatively small group, which is really good. So hopefully I'll go ahead and warm you up for about half an hour or so. And then if you have any questions specific to you personally about overcoming some fears, I'll be able to help you on those things. So I'd like you to do me a favor. Take a deep breath, relax, and imagine that you're 5 years old. You as a five-year-old child. You know, those innocent ages. Five, six is fine. Now, what are you afraid of when you're 5 or 6 years old? You're afraid of dark, monsters, and boogeyman, right? Now today, fast forward to today, same person, a little bit wiser, a little bit older. Now you're no longer afraid of monsters or boogeyman, but you are afraid of being poor, being homeless, dying all by yourself alone on the side of the street. Now, how many of you are still afraid of monsters? So you somehow now convince yourself, or that you know for sure there are no monsters, but you are also sure there is poverty. Now, have you ever tried to convince a five-year-old that there is poverty, or that one day they're going to be old and they may be poor and they may be homeless? Have you also tried to convince a five-year-old that there are no monsters? So for them, it's very real. And for you, it's very real as well. So I guess fear is real, but what we fear or what you're afraid of changes. Well, this is kind of a normal thing, right? Because fear is a real thing. It's a lifesaver. It really is. You feel it in your body. It's physical. And again, it's designed to keep humans alive, all animals alive. So it's actually a tool. Of course, just like everything else in life, you know, you want to use these things in moderation. You don't want to lose control over them. And just like any tool, fear is in itself is neutral. What that means is it doesn't care how you what your reaction to it. It just says, "Mom, there's something to be afraid of." Now, your reaction to it and the result of you giving in or facing the fear determines the outcome of it, whether it's a good one or a bad one. What I mean by this is this. A friend of mine was telling a story about her husband who was doing commercials. They brought a horse to act with him in the commercial, and that horse was acting kind of weird. And this gentleman said, "Jerry," said, "I'm not working with this horse." Now, he was kind of afraid of the behavior of the horse's displaying. Horse wrangler said, "Oh, you're just afraid of the horse, and that's why he's acting like a fool." And then to demonstrate Jerry that, you know, he just needs to take charge of it, he tries to jump on the horse. Horse gets on his hind legs, smashes this guy's face, and he loses all his teeth. So, under those circumstances, Jerry's fear served him, and the other guy's lack of fear did not serve him. So that's what I mean by that. Now, there are a few things that we know about being afraid and being fear, and one is it's progressive. What I mean by that progressive on as it relates to what we're talking about is it gets stronger every time that fear wins, and it gets weaker every time that you win. Meaning, if you face your fear, it becomes a little bit easier for you next time and the time after and the time after. And when you chicken out and back down, it becomes bigger and bigger. And I'm certain I don't have to give you hours and hours of examples of these or all the silly sayings about if you fall off a horse, you should get back on it. You're smart enough to get that. So what I would like to work on today, since we're talking about real estate or investors and how we deal with fears, I want to point out one of the ways that you want to overcome the fear is slowly and easily moving forward. Meaning, if you have a really deep-seated fear that you're afraid of something, that you won't be able to fix it overnight. That's just not possible. Because remember, there's a momentum on the fear's side on this. You certainly can do it, but it is a really big jump. And it really is a little bit tougher on the people who are trying to do this. Remember, we want you to be successful. So we want, for us, the key is how to make success easier and more, how to kind of, for you to be successful quicker and easier. So here's another story about fear. My wife is afraid of elevators, right? It's her least favorite thing in the world. She has a little bit claustrophobic. And those of you who are married or who are in relationships will relate to this. It would make a foolish man to explain to his wife being afraid of elevators are stupid, right? Because it's very real. So, knowing what I know, so now what happened a few years ago, I started, when we go on vacation, we take two vacations a year. So we're in Bahamas and Vegas and different places. Somehow, all the rooms that we were getting were on the 12th floor, 19th floor, 30th floor, and the 17th floor. And I go, honey, you want to take the stairs or you want to take the elevator? Slowly, in a progressive way, my wife finally is able to overcome the fear because carrying a bunch of luggage in Bahamas to the 19th floor was a little bit more annoying than riding in an elevator with a few different people. And so what happened is she was able to outgrow her fear. She was able to face it gently, slowly, slowly, and then momentum got on her side. Now she doesn't care. If it's a really old, you know, one of those dinky elevators in Paris that even I'm afraid to ride, yeah, that's a fair game. So how do you deal with fear? Or how do you overcome fear? Based on all the fears that I dealt with, and I'll give you some examples just to kind of help you out, that how did I deal some of these massive fears and turn them into actually lots of money for myself. There are really two proven ways to overcome fear. One is what we call immersion, meaning whatever that you're afraid of, you jump right in, and then it overwhelms your system. You kind of give in to it, and then you overcome the fear. I use this in one of my businesses when we're working with dogs. And the other one is a gentler way, which is the way that I like it, more progressive. I'll explain you to both, but I think, yeah, I'll save you some time. So this is what I suggest. Let's think about a fear that one has. Now, let me point this out. Sometimes when I'm in the meetings and when people are talking about fears, I hear things like, oh, I'm afraid of, or I have a fear of success. I have fear of failure. These are all cop-out answers. I'm a foreigner, so I can say stuff like that. It's really nice-sounding, sticky thing, right? But no one is afraid of success. I mean, right? You may be self-sabotaging. There may be some other fears. But if you're thinking I'm afraid of success, that's just baloney. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't think being rich is really a scary thing for you guys, right? So it's really important for us to identify what exactly it is that is blocking us. Now, if you're afraid to make a phone call, if you're afraid to make an offer, if you're afraid to make a really lowball offer, because Larry teaches if you're not embarrassed by your first offer, you're offering too much. So those are all things that will really engage in a lot of the fear thing. But I want to take kind of get you off the hook. A lot of the things that you think you're afraid are taught to you by your parents. One of the reasons is because in the first 2 years of your life, you're essentially not afraid of anything. So they go out of their way trying to keep you alive. They're creating these boogeymen and these scary situations. What if this? What if that? What of this? What of that? And then that becomes a programming in your own brain. And so now, sometimes, your own dialogue that's in your brain just runs amok and really paralyzes you. And that's the fear that we're talking about. So, knowing what we're talking about, coming progressively, what I suggest to people who I'm helping with these issues often is to leave what really scares the crap out of them alone. Don't deal with that anymore. Let's work on your courage muscle. So let's talk about courage, right? Or being brave. Now, English is my second language, so I had to study each word or I had to learn each word. And it turns out being courageous or being brave does not mean you're not afraid. What it means is you move forward despite of your fear. That's what courage is. And believe me, you are courageous in a whole lot of things in your life, right? Imagine if somebody is broke into your house. Imagine that they're harming your loved ones. And all you have is a fork. I bet you would be able to use that fork rather easily to defend your family. So that muscle is, if you haven't used it on some of the things that you're not comfortable versus things that you are comfortable with, you can understand how there's a difference, although you are the same person. 5-year-old to 40-year-old, being afraid of monsters or being afraid of poverty. What you're afraid of is irrelevant. The fact that it freezes you or the fact that it gets into your way, that's the problem. So, what I suggest is for our people who are on this call is really kind of create some scenarios and easy, courageous behaviors for you to do. For example, let's say that I'm afraid of making a lowball offer. Only reason I mentioned this because I was really afraid of it when I heard it from Larry that if you're not embarrassed by your first offer, you're offering too much. Now, I've seen Larry work this out many times. And it looks so easy, especially if you've been to his office. You know, he's kind of a master in this. But when it was time for me to do it, I was really scared. I was like, crap, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I don't know what to do. What if this guy... And all this, my mind was just going running nuts. And I kept repeating to myself, all right, I'm in the right place because I'm supposed to be embarrassed by my offer. And I'll tell you, the deal that I was working on, it was a property that was vacant for a few years, and I think the asking price was $299,000. I offered $99,000. Now, it took me a while to build this, but I offered $99,000. And the response of the bank was this: get the fuck out of here, literally with this expression, and they hung up the phone on me. It was okay. It wasn't the end of the time. And I was like, hey, this is not so bad. Now, until I do it, I was really scared. But once it's like, oh, this is not so bad, and immediately that fear just becomes obsolete for me. So next time I call the same bank, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean 99,000, I meant 129. So does that make sense? And now I'm no longer afraid, or I'm no longer fearing the reaction of the other person to my lowball offer. So now, one thing that I do suggest to people, once you kind of get one of these courageous, easy actions, immediately celebrate. Immediately take ownership of that. Start patting yourself on the back. Like, do a victory dance. Like, that's right, punk, fear, I kick your ass. Yeah! Now, I am like this. So when I overcome something, I like to block it into my body. So you, if you see me in person, you'll see regularly my arms up in a victory, and I'm just screaming and pumping my chest. And I'm just like Mike Tyson, just want to fight. Because in actuality, I am Mike Tyson. And I have won that fight. So this is what I recommend for all of you who are on this call. First of all, make a list of all your fears, right? I'm afraid of being poor. I'm afraid of being homeless. I'm afraid of running out of time. I'm afraid of dying. You know, just have a brain dump of all the fears that you have. I'm afraid of being laughed at. I'm afraid of, you know, my kids, blah, 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 all this. Most people can fill up a page or two of these fears. Once you have this list, kind of take a look at it. And what you're going to notice is there will be a pattern. What I do suggest is once you have this list and you're looking at those list of fears, what I do suggest is kind of go a little bit deeper. When I say go a little bit deeper, this is what I mean. I'm afraid to make an offer. Okay, but what's the fear? So now your brain is thinking, what is it that you're afraid of? I'm being laughed at. Whatever it is, what you're going to notice is there are going to be a few things that's going to merge from there. And when those fears kind of bundle up together, that you're going to see that you're afraid of three or four things. These are going to be the deep-seated fears. Now, just like what we talked about in the last two, three calls, now you have to come up with which one of these fears that you should overcome first. And you're going to see some of those things are going to be more important than others. More valuable, not more important, but more valuable. And you want to get to work on that. Let's say that one of those fears is afraid of unknown, or let's stick to the original being afraid of making an offer, low ball offer. I don't even like to use the word low ball. I'd like to say initial offer. I think that's a better way. So once I come up with what I'm afraid of, I'm going to leave that fear to side. or what I'm going to work on other issues that I feel courageous. So if this person, if I'm afraid when I look at my list, and this will be different for each of you, if it's being ridiculed, if it's being cussed at, if it's being, you know, physically violated, whatever your fear is, what you want to think about is, how would I feel, how would I be if that fear did not impact me? So I'm not saying how would I overcome that, but the question is, what kind of a person would I be if that fear did not exist? What this will lead into is something that's in your physical body. Whether you feel powerful, whether you feel like the best investor, whatever it is, that feeling that is going to be inside your body, that you're going to feel it. Once you lock that in there, next thing that I would like you to do is find something so simple that you could emulate or you could duplicate that feeling. So if you're afraid of being laughed at, and go make a stupid joke to something that does not matter, to someone that doesn't matter, that you have no skin in the game, and the other person doesn't even know what you're trying to do, but just go and make a stupid joke to a stupid person and let them not laugh or do laugh. But what you're getting from this is like you actually facing a fear, and you're just chunking it away. You're just chipping a piece of that block. Now, once you have that, yeah, you celebrate. You're like, yeah, I can do this. Now, what you want to do is when you get this victory, you have to milk it. You cannot be like, oh, yeah, that was stupid, and that's an extra exercise. No. That's not what I'm saying. Even if it's the dumbest thing that you've ever done, but you've actually took that baby step, man, you got to go big. You want to be like, yeah, that's right. I made a dumb joke to a dumb guy, and he didn't even laugh. And you're okay. What you're going to notice, that is going to make the other things that is so big a little bit easier. I like to work on fears that I'm facing about a week to 2 weeks long. So once you find a subject, work on one of those things forever. I mean, for about a week or so. But you have to consciously do this. What I mean by that, you have to take charge of the situation, and you have to tell yourself that I'm going to master this. I'm going to master being laughed at. I'm going to master this. And there's only one way to master something, and knowledge, understanding more, having more wisdom about that subject. I'll wrap it up. I'll give you two examples of how I utilize this, and then I'll ask, you know, I'll open the lines, and then you can ask your questions. One of my companies that I own in Charlotte is a dog training business. I train dogs in one of my companies. And if you tell that to any of my friends in Turkey, they would laugh at you because I had dog phobia all my life. When I was four years old, a dog attacked me. I thought I was going to die. And after that, I'm not talking about one of those little dog fears, full-blown phobia, could not move. Last time that happened to me was in year 2000. I was 30 years old. By then, I served in the military, Air Force. I was a firefighter. I saved lives. I ran into burning buildings to save people, yet I was deathly afraid of dogs. At the time, one of my companies in year 2000, I used to import things from Indonesia. On one night, I'm in Balinese beach somewhere. We went out partying, and I had no money, and I was walking back, and a whole bunch of dogs punked me. I could not go to my hotel because there were three dogs sitting or laying down in front of my hotel's entrance. And I couldn't go. I had to spend the night at the beach. At that moment, I decided that I had to overcome this because it was pretty stupid to be who I am and then be afraid of dogs. So I did the immersion. That's how I learned this stuff. So immersion therapy is just a little, I'm sorry, not immersion, a gentler overcoming. So what I did is I started looking at children who were petting small dogs, like one of those little white, not Yorkies, but Westies, and like a kid petting it. So I was kind of approached, and this was my psychology. I'm sorry this is being recorded, but I figured if that dog was to attack me, I would push the kid in front of the dog and run away and go, oh my God, dog attacked the child. This is before internet, so I figured I could get away with it. Yeah, true story. So I would go and touch the dog, and I would just walk away. And the second thing I wanted to do is I wanted to learn about the dog breed. I thought if I start planning of having a dog, maybe I could overcome the fear. So that's how I actually end up getting a dog, and then not being able to train that dog because I was so afraid. One thing led to another, and I became a dog trainer. Furthermore, I now trained over 4,000 dogs. It's a multi-million dollar business. And, you know, it's been really great. And all of that has happened that I started petting small dogs that was near small children. But I had to decide to take that step. True story. And another one, and this is kind of goes in line with being laughed at, I did Toastmasters. If you don't do Toastmasters, I highly suggest you go to Toastmasters. Best $60 you can spend every 6 months or so. So in one of those Toastmasters meetings, a guy came in Charlotte. He says, I'm an improviser, improv comedy guy. And I'm going to help you guys overcome your fear of public speaking. And he made us do some stupid tricks, you know, pop, 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 pee, 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 improv games. And I hated that guy. I wanted to punch him in the face because it was just stupid stuff. And when I told him, well, I didn't tell him it was a stupid stuff, but I said, oh, I'm not doing this. He said, oh, you're just afraid. Now, well, I was afraid, but I didn't want to say it. So I was like, no, man, it's just, this is stupid, and I'm not doing it. So I left the meeting, you know, after, you know, the meeting was over, I went home, and I knew that I was afraid of whatever that guy was pitching. Whether being ridiculed, whether being laughed at, or whatever it was that was really upsetting. And, of course, I was not going to let fear win me over. So I said, what do I need to do? I said, ah, I'll start taking some improv classes. So I researched, and I took, you know, 6 weeks of improv classes, and then I liked it. I did another 6 weeks, and then I did another 6 weeks, and then I performed with Charlotte Comedy Theater for about a year. I knew I did not like people laughing at me. And so best way to do that was actually to get paid to be laughed at. And so the moral of all both of these stories is really for you to kind of have a kind of an upset or confrontational posturing to things that make you afraid. Right? So I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about this list that you created, those things that are self-taught fears. And say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to face this, but I'm going to do it my terms. I'm going to do it slowly. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to go gentle. I'm going to go build something, and I'm just going to chip it away. And then knowing soon enough, I'm going to reach that tipping point, and I'm going to overcome it. And you have tools. And one of those tools is really meditating in the morning, having faith. We're going to cover this extensively moving forward. So I hope some of you are regulars, and I hope you're actually kind of seeing the pattern of what we're trying to do here, that we're building from different parts of you into a whole of you, that to get you all the success that you want. But it looks like I've been yakking for about half an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and open. Well, you can actually, if you have any questions, you can unmute yourself by hitting. I would like to remind you, some of you may be afraid to ask a question, so this would be a really good time for you to actually practice that, and that will be helpful for others too. All right? I'm gonna meet you. I'm gonna let you go. Star 6, put on your big boy and big girl pants, unmute and ask. But also, mention your name so we know who you are, okay? Here we go. Start asking your question. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Any questions?
Can't you ask me to listen?
Everybody's good?
Hey, Turk.
Yes, sir.
My name's Adam.
Hey, Adam.
First of all, thank you. Great session. Thanks so much for the insights. Relative to gently overcoming those fears, with like role playing with some not so critical people, maybe friends, be a great place to start.
Yes. Well, what fear are we talking about?
Well, maybe a phone call conversation to verbally make that first offer.
Yeah. So are you talking about kind of practicing so you can get your spiel right, or is there a fear that prevents you from making that call?
Well, I would say both. I think that maybe practicing that spiel with someone who kind of knows what you're trying to do to kind of get your spiel right must be helpful.
Yeah, Adam, so this is what I would do. If I'm afraid of making that, let's say, the initial call, right? So there's a fear there of upsetting other person or whatever. There's just a lot of noise, so I muted everyone, but I'll unmute again. So, yes, role play is really important, and it really helps you with your spiel. I would take that a step further. I would, if I'm role-playing with someone, especially if it's about deal, if that person is a friend of mine, I would want that person absolutely hostile. Meaning that if I know that it's a friend of mine, let's say that you and I are calling, right? And I would say, Adam, listen, I want you to be like absolutely belligerent. Whatever I tell you, I just want you to be like, no, bugger off. Get the hell out of here, jerk. Whatever, all that, get those out of the system, right? So now you're like, okay, that's not so bad because I know Adam. He doesn't really mean it. It's okay. So now my ears and my psychology is ready to it. Now, this is to face that fear part, right? Because that's what you're afraid of. You're not afraid of making an offer if you know the other person is going to accept it, right? So if there's a $100,000 home, you're going to offer $22,000, and if you know 100% without a doubt that they're going to accept your offer, you wouldn't be afraid of it. But yes, having that muscle memory, what you're describing is actually, hey, I'm Adam, I'm calling you from this, pa 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 pa. And so that gives you your courageous muscles, and if you ask your other friend to actually role play in the way that serves you, I want you to be hostile. I want you to be receptive. I want you to be kind of nonchalant and all these things. And what that will do is that will help you or chip away into that unknown fear. Does that answer or does that make sense? I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah.
Back to you, Adam. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's good, and I like the advice about setting them up. Absolutely. absolutely not accept my offer and just beat me down and just be belligerent to belittle me to certain numbers.
That's it. That's exactly right. You want that muscle memory of like, yeah, whatever. Because hear me out on this, right? No one ever tells a child that's learning to walk, get up, dummy, hurry up, you got to run. Right? We're always like, yeah, good job, you fall on your butt, or it's so cute,
right,
or oopsie daisy. Yeah, that's what you want. Like, you're the child in that, and you want to practice this inside, and so you don't, there's no skin in the game for you. That's exactly right.
I will not lose sight of what you told me Bank of America said to you when you made your first offer.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. That's good. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for your question, Adam. All right, next victim. There are 18 of you on this call. Do you have any more questions?
Hey, Turk, I have a question.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, I'm Olga.
Hi, Olga.
Hi. So my question is kind of, I don't know if it's fear is a problem, but it's ongoing pretty much on any level, anything you try to do. It's this feeling that you're somehow faking being what you are. And it's, you know, you can have kids, in relationships, work, job, clients, offers, whatever. Just constant feeling that you're not good enough, you're not sufficient enough, you're faking somehow. I don't know what is the feeling it comes from. It's like some sort of rejection. Apparently, I really, when you talk about like put your fears down and then go deep, I don't understand how to translate the problem into the deeper analysis.
Yeah. So what are you afraid of?
That people will discover quickly that you're fake. You
sure.
Don't know.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
Not as
are
good as someone else.
Are you fake?
Somebody's breathing into the phone.
Not. I mean, I exist, but... It's hard to...
So is it, when you say fake, you mean like you're a fake investor because you haven't done a deal? Or fake as a person, and, you know, not a genuine person?
No, you're probably telling people like, you know, I'm here to help you, and then you really want to help, it's honest. But you don't have 40 years behind, and... But it's hard to believe yourself sometimes, although, yes, the genuine feeling of wanting to help is definitely present. That's the reason to do this.
Okay, so there are two things that I'm detecting, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, okay, because I haven't met you in person. So it's one thing that what you don't know, that you're afraid of, like, not knowing what to do, right? That I hear one of that, as in, well, I really want to help these people, but I've never done a deal, I don't have any experiences, and I don't have all this, so I can't really help it, so I'm kind of faking it. And then there's another part that I hear is like, well, you know, I'm not good enough, so it's probably not for me. Are those two accurate descriptions, or did I hear you correctly?
No, faking for the idea of picking up the knowledge, that's easy. You go and you learn, you get the idea. But this fundamental mistrust that you will deliver on the best possible level, it's some sort of perfectionism that, I guess, is coming in. There's always so much more that you could have done. And it's very tiring.
Well, I think your focus may be a little bit off on that, and I'll help you out with this. There was a really old-time, for those of you who've been playing the game for quite some time, there was a really interesting guy named Haim Azizi. If you come to Metroline Area meetings, you know, 10, 15 years ago, he used to go, Azizi makes it easy, really nice guy. I took him for lunch one day, and we're talking about deals. He said to me, you know what, I'm never satisfied with the deals. He says, because you can always make it a penny cheaper. I was like, dude, really? That's you can never get a celebration from them. So I think you may be in that kind of a going into that category a little bit. Meaning if your heart is in the right place, you're trying to really help people. Right? If that's the game that you're playing. And when I say game, I don't mean game as in like you're pulling a one over people. I just refer to life as game. So if you are the person who go, you know what, I want to help you, and if you just concentrate on that, you can't go wrong. So I think, you know, I think what you may want to do is maybe go and, I think you asked a similar question a couple calls ago, yes? Are you the same, Olga?
Probably. I don't know how many Olgas you have.
Yeah, having a lot of kids not having time. You have five children.
That's me.
Yeah, cool. So if you want, I can give you a quick homework. I usually don't like to give homework, but this may be helpful. Where do you live, Olga?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, nice. Cool. So for next week, if you want, well, whenever, sometime, maybe between now and the next call, go ahead and volunteer in the hospice. Just for 1 hour.
Say that again.
So, go and volunteer at hospice, where people go to die. So spend about an hour a day, right? So that will kind of help you with all these things. It's going to just put everything in a proper perspective.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about that. Yeah. Somebody didn't hear. I didn't hear his intro up. No, I want his intro up to that. I'll talk to you after the call.
Okay. Who's speaking? All right. Olga, did you get that message? Did you hear that?
Yes.
So what that's going to help you, what that's going to help you, that you can actually help people in a really deep, deep way, right? Not out of obligation, but it is actually, you're going to understand that you, when you're genuinely trying to help people, that it really doesn't matter. You can't fail. The system, the universal system, that if in your core, that you are indeed trying to help someone, you should not fear failure. That just does not happen. And the second part, it will remind you that soon, or hopefully not so soon, but soon you're going to die. And that really helps put things in perspective, because you're going to remember your kids are going to be okay, your husband is going to be okay, your boyfriend is going to be okay. With or without you, the life is going to go just fine. So what you want to do is like, hey, it's all cool. It's like, worst case scenario, I'm dead and then life goes on. So while I'm here, let's go goof around. Trust me, this works. Everyone who tries this, it works all the time.
There's just no excuse.
Olga, did that answer your question,
yes,
or do you want to go deeper?
Well, I'll try to work on this.
Don't try, just do it. It's really easy. They're always looking for volunteers. Just say, hey, I can only do 1 hour, 5 days. That's all the time I got.
Oh, actually, we do perform in health places as well as other places. So it helps to put things in perspective, because I've seen them. I've helped those people, dealt with them, and severe, but it helps.
Yeah. And then if you have deep, like if you guys have deep-seated fears of, other than the, you know, like if you're afraid of failure and things like that, one thing that was really helpful for me is you can certainly, you know, do something that is explosive, meaning go punch a bag, you know, get like a 12-pound those medicine balls and throw them on the floor where you have a explosive power in your body, and that will also be helpful for you building that confidence too.
Turk, it is really, really hard to hear you and understand, hear anybody because of all the noise. I don't know if somebody, I mean, some people need to mute.
Yeah, I think you can mute yourself by hitting star 6. Let's try that. Can everyone hit star 6, please? Okay, so now whoever wants to ask, you can unmute yourself by star 6.
It should open up.
Okay. Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Maria. I wanted to
say hey
to Olga because she was in my class in Charlotte, and she's fabulous. And I can understand what she's saying. It's hard to believe in yourself sometimes. You'll be doing well. And then sometimes those moments come on when you feel like you just can't quite get over the hump sometimes, you know. I've started back into real estate after many, many, many years, and it's a big challenge, but yet you know you can do it, but yet sometimes you get in front of yourself, so to speak, you know. You have this problem of some days you just wake up, like I remember you talked about when you failed and you just had to come back and you just knew you had no choice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what you're describing is quite normal, and, you know, who doesn't have a bad day, right? Sometimes my hand.
Right.
And
right.
Sometimes I'm just the biggest loser ever. Whatever I touch turns to shit, right?
Yeah, sometimes you're right.
Yeah, so when that happens, I go, hey, I'm having a crappy day today. I'm just going to sleep, and tomorrow's going to be another day. Sometimes you just need to crash and burn, right? That the analogy, okay. it just happened. But
yes.
the listeners here, the audience, please remember this. When that happens, don't go into a spiral of, I'm a loser, baby. Oh, here, I do it again. I punch myself in the face. How stupid I am. That's just like really, really stupid, right? So when that just
right.
happens, you know what?
Right.
I'm having a brain fart today. Listen to me. I'm driving across the nation. I'm right now in some BFE, Egypt, somewhere in Texas. I left Phoenix earlier today. And I'm not a big fan of Texas. It's just like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
It's a big, huge state. It's hard to get from one place to the other. It's
yeah,
so
yeah.
Far.
I'm thinking I'm
the
in this country.
Far.
I ditched my belt 2 hours ago. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's just like a road trip. Sometimes, like today, I took a wrong turn. It's just like, it was supposed to be on 20. I was supposed to be on 10 East. Now I'm on 20 East. I didn't catch myself for a while. And I was like, Turk the jerk. How could you do that? It's a stupid GPS. And how hard is it to lose it? Right? I can go on the side of the road and, you know, piss all over myself and complain about it. Or I can say, oh, that was a stupid mistake. Let's turn around. Let's woo. So,
right.
Yeah, of course, you're going to be afraid. Like, most of our time that we're afraid of stuff. But that's what I was talking about. You want to find some small victories. So when you feel like a loser, when you go, oh, man. Hear me out on this. Maybe this will be helpful, too. I had dog phobia. Like, you have to really understand a full phobia, right? So now I have a dog training company. So there are times when a dog will attack me and they will come real close.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I've been, you know, for quite some time, I've trained thousands of dogs. So when a dog sometimes have their way with me, right, I'll take a week off because I cannot stabilize. I get up, I'm depressed. Now I'm afraid of everything. You know what I mean? It's like I don't want that
feeling.
You
have to step back and refocus, right?
Yeah, exactly right. I go, whoa, I cannot go forward anymore because I'm afraid. I'm just going to stop here. I'm going to go back to the kiddie pool, and I'm just going to splash some water because that's all I can do right now. And you must give yourself permission. Fear what keeps you safe. The question that you want to ask whenever you're afraid is this an appropriate fear? Because sometimes it is an appropriate fear. A couple days ago, I was in Seattle. I took a right turn, and oh my God, I'm wearing a T-shirt that I bought online. It says, bad dude, okay? Like, it says, big bold print, it says, bad dude. I took a right instead of Pike Place. And as soon as I turn right, there are transvestite hookers, pimps, drug dealers, and gangbangers. I see a guy is eyeballing me with tattoos with the tears and stuff on his face. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, if I was that guy, I'd kick my ass and take that shirt. Like, you're going to wear a bad dude shirt and come to my hood? I'm kicking your ass. I was like, I'm scared right now. Easy. I was like, 180-degree turn. I said, hey, man, I'm just going to walk away from here. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Then I go to a coffee shop.
Sometimes they have their
it.
Own fears, too, those guys that have those tears running down their eyes. You know, they might have killed or done a lot of things, but they have their own fears, too.
Yeah, but I was in a position of faking it because I was more afraid than him of me.
That's a good story.
So don't beat up on yourself because you're afraid of something. You want to ask, is this an appropriate fear, right? So
I had a piece of weapon on me. She was in my class, Olga, and I loved her dearly. And I wanted to say hey to her, and I know what she's feeling because I was in real estate investing for 6 years, and then the market fell. And so I'm trying my best to get back into it. And Larry was instrumental in that many years ago. And then, of course, you know, I wasn't strong enough back then to fight the wave of the failures that went on with the economy, you know, because it hit me hard. And so now I'm trying to get back into it, and I want to do it full force, and I'm finding I'm having these walls come up just like you said, and every day you have to fight them, but you have to overcome them to be successful.
The person whose car or something is beeping, can you please mute yourself? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
yes, so... So what I hear you say is the failures are a little bit strong and you have a more reference to it. It probably hurt a little bit. And now you go, ooh, what if? Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, maybe. But then I think failure's not an option anymore. It's not an option. I have to succeed again with this because of my situation. And I have to move forward with it, and I have to be successful. And that's what I just keep waking up and telling myself each day. And I'll learn more and more once I overcome each battle that comes my way. And I know there's going to be many because it's going to be, you know, to turn it full time again, it's going to be – and I'm in an area where it's a tough area. I mean, I'm an hour outside of New Orleans, and then I'm an hour away from Mobile, Alabama. So, you know, we're in the deep south. It's a whole different ball game down here. Houses aren't worth as much as, like, even where Olga is from. It's just a whole different ball game, so to speak, you know?
Well, what I know about failure is you only fail when you stop. Because all
right.
of the times it's a feedback.
That's excellent. Thank you, Turk. That's excellent.
Hey, Turk?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I jump in? You know, what I hear is there's two extremes. There's failure and then there's success. That's what you guys keep talking about in the last 10 minutes. But there's an in limbo status in between when you're not necessarily failing, and certainly by people's reaction, you probably consider to be successful in many, many, many different ways. But it is
right.
not a success that you interpret the success like. And I don't know how to come out of this in limbo status because
yeah.
you do not appreciate the credit people give you because you don't see this as a success. Does it make
yeah.
sense? Like,
yeah.
you know, you have fantastic
Excellent.
Something.
Yeah.
So, and this it does sound like you're talking about two extremes, but what is this in-between space
yeah.
and how do you fix that?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't catch your name.
It's still Olga.
Oh, okay. So, it's, yeah. All right. So, when you say... When you say in a limbo, can you give me a little bit more description on that?
Well, you can, for example, you could be making, I don't know, like you have, let me just be personal, like if I have five children, they consider to be great kids. They study abroad, they speak six languages, they're super educated, they're fantastic, they're amazing. Most people think that you're very successful as the mother, for example, but I know that there is communication issues and things that I know about that the world doesn't. And so you know
yeah.
that you're not what you interpret yourself as success.
Yeah,
you do the
I
same
understand.
Thing in career, in community. I serve
yeah.
close to 100-something people in the community, but the community is like a million people wide, so I cannot serve
yeah.
them. I serve like tiny percentage. I don't – do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
The discrepancy between success interpretation and failure interpretation just so different that it's hard to
yeah.
program yourself properly.
Oh, yeah, I dig this so much. This is really, you touch into a really awesome thing. And I think we should talk about success, what it means. And let's call that for the next meeting because what you're describing or what you're scratching is a really important issue. But I'll leave you with this, right? Success really is an internal job because so what if your kids are speaking six languages? That just means then they learn six languages. And I understand that, you know, what I let me backtrack because that is actually being a good parent, I guess, because you definitely influence them in a way. But the way that you interpret that is, yes, you can always be more. Right? Who can't be more? So there's always room for improvement until the day you die, and it's likely that will be the biggest improvement too. But it's an everyday success. So today, you're not going to be as successful as tomorrow. And tomorrow, you're not going to be as successful as the day after. So what I hear you say is, yeah, maybe the other people are, they see me as successful people, person, but I don't feel it inside. Am I hearing that correctly? Did I interpret that properly?
Yes.
Cool. Well, that has nothing to do with fear.
Yeah.
What you're describing is self-worthiness. So in other words, the seed of what you're describing is a person that who's trained to be a performer and never been allowed to kind of analyze what really matters to him or her. Right? Because how we define success is differently, right? Because sometimes, like the people that I think are successful, sometimes they're not, right? And sometimes when what you're saying is you look at someone and say they're successful, but that's essentially comparing your inside to their outside. So that's not a winnable proposition for you. What I would do is maybe define what success is. Like, how would that feel like to be successful? Just meditate on that.
Well, I think the feelings are definitely based on the fear, and the fear is to be left alone, somehow be rejected. That's fundamental fuel for all of this, because if there's someone dissatisfied, he may reject you, you will be alone. And then people will discover that you're fake and then you will be alone. So there is a fear that is definitely fueling that endless strive for success or perfection of some sort.
I understand. Well, this sometimes this kind of stings a little bit when I say it. But if you're not okay being alone, being with somebody is not a solution. Because you don't want to be with yourself. So, man, I dig it. I hear what you're saying, and I dealt with that most of my life. I get it. Yeah. But you want to remember, you're not a fake person. So just remind that to yourself. And then what I would do is, again, you know, just kind of concentrate. Hey, just say to yourself, say this to yourself. I'm doing the best I can. And that's all you can do. Just repeat to yourself. And if you catch yourself lying about doing the best you can, just say, oh, I don't want to be a liar, so let me do the best that I can. And just remember, sometimes your best is going to suck, because that's just how life goes, man. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Olga really bring up something, so I wanted to point out something, and I really had to get on the road because I'm trying to reach Austin, and it's only 250 miles away. Thank you, 5-Hour Energy Drink. So in the last meeting that I noticed that we do get a variety of investors here, meaning that all of you are playing the game at different levels. So I wanted to bring this out to you and see what you think. Instead of, in a month since we had two calls, instead of each call being something different, what I was thinking, it may be better, maybe the first call will go with the basics and overview, and then the second call in the month go for more deep, more exercises and things like that. And listen, I'm on your dime. You're the boss. This is just came to me because after the time management, someone mentioned something. I was like, duh. I was like, I thought it was a little bit too much. So I wanted to put that out for you. If you think that's a better idea, let's go that way. That's point one. Two, what Olga brought up, this may be a good topic for the next month, and I'll take your suggestion too, but like, let's talk about success, what it means and how to feel it and things like that too. Or we can work on kind of different priorities or how to, I think, you know, whatever is helpful for you. And when I talked to Larry, I think we agreed, since you actually come into the call, we want to take your feedback and shape this around you, because this is not, you know, this is not a top-down service. We want things that matter to you. We want to give you the tools for you to use, not the tools that I think you should be using, if that makes sense. So let's get your feedback on splitting to like the kind of a overview or basics to advance. What are your thoughts on that?
And how do I contact you?
Me?
Yes.
The easiest way is asap@leigoins.com. I'm kind of lying on that because I haven't checked that mail since we started, but that's the easiest way. Or social media, if you're on #Turkism, you can send me a message on Twitter, Facebook, and different places if it's an immediate concern.
It would be about the feedback and going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think ASAP at Larry Goins would be best?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I think that's good.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just one last thought. From what I'm hearing, it makes me think of something that I was told a while back. And that is never surrender, never quit.
Oof,
so
strong.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, very nice. Actually, Can I point one thing out, because, you know, I'm a nitpicking guy. Actually, surrender is better than submit. So when I learned that, it was never submit. Because sometimes it's okay to go with the flow. But yeah, what you're saying is really good. Don't give up. Fail forward. As long as you're failing forward, that's a forward progress.
Thank you.
All right? My pleasure, yeah. Anyone else? All right, let's get your suggestions on the next call for August. Wow, August is here already. August 7th call. Do you want to cover a subject?
Hey, Kurt.
I'll let you know.
Hi. Okay, hello.
Hi. This is Cassandra, Turk. Is it possible that you can give us that the book list on the Inner Circle Facebook page?
Book list. Someone else asked me this. What book list is this? I have multiple ones.
Well, we talked previously, and you said that you were going to get a page together and put.
Okay.
A list of books that recommend a book for us to read.
Okay, perfect. I'm sorry, because of the road trip that I have not done that, and I'll have it before the August call.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Hey, Turk.
All right. Yes, sir. Who is this?
This is Adam again. Many thanks for your insights tonight. Very good. It's priceless. Thanks a lot, and I hope you have a safe trip. Just be patient and be safe. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
cool.
so much, and please be safe on your way there to Austin, okay?
I will. I'm going to keep
God bless you.
Thank you. All right, so let's end it up. Next call is in August 7th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be back in Charlotte. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. My road trip partner, cousin, oh, she's horrible. I'm just kidding.
Big travel.
Thank you very
Big
much.
Travel.
Good night, everybody. Be safe.
Good night.
I'll talk to you
Bye.
Later.
Good night.
Thanks, sir.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.